Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A Netflix original film. Superprod Animation, Biddable Productions, and Big Beach present, in co-production with France 3 Cinema, in association with Wild Bunch, CNS Productions, and BMK Backup Media. This film presented in 3D digital animation. Opening titles appear as a pack of wolves runs through a forest on a moonlit winter's night amid snow-covered mountains. Starring the voice talents of Nick Offerman, Rashida Jones, Paul Giamatti, and Eddie Spears. Title, White Fang. Original music composed and orchestrated by Bruno Coulet. Interpreted by Orchestra Philharmonique du Luxembourg. Conducted by Gast Waltzing. Design and art direction by Stéphane Gallard. Characters designed by Antoine Poulain. Lead background artist Jose Martins. Line producer Lucy Bowles. CG supervisor Jan Avenatti. Based on the novel by Jack London. Script by Philippe Lioré. Serge Friedman and Dominique Monferry. Produced by Clement Calvet, Jeremy Fajner, Lillian Esch, Christelle Hennen, Mark Turteltaub, and Peter Seraph. Inside an old sawmill, betting men are crowded around two dog owners, each holding a vicious, barking dog on a leash. One a black Doberman, the other a brown pit bull. A large furry dog stays silent and wary as he is let in. He has husky and wolf markings, a white face and chest, a gray back and black masking around his eyes. His master is a skinny little man named Smith, who has patchy brown hair, piercing blue eyes, a hooked nose and bad teeth. He approaches a smartly dressed bookie who wears a bowler hat and has bets recorded on a notepad.
You sure about this? White Fang don't look himself.
He's fine. Huh?
But you put him up against two dogs.
Which means twice the money, right?
The bookie steps into a dog-fighting ring surrounded by a wooden fence.
Time for our main event! Jocko and Scratch! Champions in their own right will face the monster! The wolf dog legend of the Klondike! The terror of Fort Yukon! White Fang!
Smith scrapes a cane along the fence.
Hear that? You know what comes next, don't you? Now get in there and make me some money, huh? Come on. Come on!
White Fang steps into the ring with his head hanging down. Then he looks at Jocko and Scratch, straining against their leashes and barking ferociously.
White Fang! White Fang! White Fang!
White Fang stares up at a bright full moon shining through a hole in the roof.
Fight!
White Fang lowers his head and squeezes his eyes shut as Jocko and Scratch attack him. Outside in the moonlight, a U.S. Marshal who wears a star badge takes a flyer from his back pocket, unfolds it, and reads it. Inside, White Fang lies motionless on the floor as Smith pushes through the crowd.
Get out of my way! Let me through! What? Oh, no.
Betting men squabble and reach for a fistful of money in the bookie's raised hand. The marshal stands among them with a smoking revolver pointed upward.
U.S. Marshal Whedon Scott! Every lawman in the territory heard that shot, so you better get moving!
Betting men scatter and run for the exits as Marshal Whedon Scott marches into the fighting ring, where the bookie remains with the dogs and their owners.
Not you. You stay put.
He points at Smith, then crouches over the injured White Fang.
What is this? Two against one? Ain't it enough you make these dogs fight? You make me sick.
It was Smith's idea, I swear it.
Me? I'm the aggrieved party here. That's my dog got tore up.
Save it. I'm gonna make sure you do time for this. Whedon! I'm in here, Hank!
Smith hits Whedon from behind with the knob of his cane, and Whedon collapses on top of White Fang.
What did you do?
Forget it. Help me get my dog.
The bookie runs away, and Smith tries to pull White Fang out from under Whedon. He leans over the unconscious Whedon.
This ain't over, lawman.
Smith leaves Whedon slumped over White Fang with his hand clutching the big dog's thick fur. Then three other marshals arrive.
Whedon! You all right? Is he still breathing?
Now, a wolf's den on a warm, sunny day. White Fang is a puppy, curled up with his mother as they both lie sleeping. Her name is Kiche. She is a slender, brown and white wolf-dog mix. White Fang twitches his ear, opens his eyes, and stares at bright daylight streaming through the den's tunnel entrance. He looks at his sleeping mother, then sniffs the air and steps toward the entrance. Kiche scoops him up in her mouth, brings him back, and falls asleep again. He moves away from her, then looks back at her before making his way to the sunny entrance. He steps into bright sunshine, sniffs the air, and looks around a leafy green forest floor. Looking up, he sees a hawk circling in a blue sky above the treetops. Looking down, he appears surprised to see a weasel sitting on a rock. The weasel takes off running, and White Fang chases it under a tree trunk to a rock wall where the weasel disappears into a hole. White Fang scratches at the hole. The weasel runs out. The hawk swoops down, grabs it, and flies away. White Fang tumbles down a steep, rocky hill and lands on a branch above rushing river water. The branch breaks. White Fang falls and is carried away in fast-moving rapids. Trying to climb a rock, he sinks underwater with fish swimming around him. Kiche reaches her head in, pulls him out in her mouth, and sets him on a flat stone by the river. She nudges him with her snout, then shakes the water from her coat. He sits up, shakes himself, and falls tiredly onto his side. She gives him a look of loving concern. Next, White Fang follows Kiche, running through the forest. In a shady area, she searches between large boulders, sniffing, and White Fang imitates her. He crouches into an attack pose, searches between rocks, then bounds after his mother. They duck down amid tall grass on the crest of a hill and watch a flock of large grouse birds feeding on the turf below. White Fang eyes his mother impatiently. Then he trots through the grass and scares the flock away. Kiche springs out behind him. He turns to see Kiche standing nearby, a dead grouse in her teeth. Later, he scampers ahead of her, happily jumping onto rocks. He stops and watches with curiosity as a pack of gray wolves moves silently through the trees ahead of him. Kiche snaps him up in her mouth. They hide behind a boulder and watch the wolves from a distance. The alpha male stops and looks in their direction, but does not see them. Piche peeks out carefully. White Fang does the same. She moves stealthily away from the wolf pack. White Fang hesitates, then follows her. Later, a bird's eye view shows Quiche and White Fang walking through the forest. They stop and look up as a single snowflake drifts down toward them. White Fang jumps up and tries to bite it. Then he paws at it as it reaches the ground. Snow falls gently as the sun sets in the mountains behind them. The sky begins to darken as Quiche trots away with White Fang at her heels. Arriving near their den, White Fang looks back to see a gray and white lynx wildcat creeping up behind Quiche. He ducks down in the den entrance. A flock of black crows suddenly takes to the air as the lynx charges. White Fang searches with his eyes, then sees Quiche chasing the lynx. The lynx backs onto a fallen tree trunk and swipes at Quiche as she lunges up. White Fang leaves the safety of the den and watches from a distance as they fight. He ducks into the hollow tree trunk as Quiche rushes to the den entrance and crouches defensively, ears flat and back hackled, snarling viciously. She spots White Fang hunkered down in the hollow trunk as the lynx takes up a position on top of it. Quiche charges. The lynx's hind leg gets caught, so it strikes out with sharp front claws. It notices White Fang in the hollow and wails menacingly at him. White Fang scurries into a rocky niche, and Quiche runs to defend him. The lynx breaks free and leaps. Quiche lunges at its underside, then suddenly falls in a heap in front of the terrified White Fang. Quiche slowly pulls herself up. She looks at White Fang, then limps toward the den. White Fang eyes the motionless lynx, then quickly follows Quiche. On a sunny winter's day, heavy snow falls from an evergreen pine tree limb. White Fang sniffs around inside the den while Quiche sleeps. He nudges a pile of old, dry bones. She lifts her head and looks at him. White Fang ventures out of the den. He sniffs the winter air and looks around. Then he sniffs the ground and wanders along a snow-covered path. He comes across a few blueberries lying in the snow, then looks up to see more hanging on a branch. Back in the den, he rests a berry branch in front of Quiche. Then watches attentively as she eats them. Another day, White Fang playfully leaps out of the den into the snow. He turns excitedly, watching Quiche as she limps out into the winter sun. She licks his face, then hobbles after him to the berry bush. A crow plucks the last berry from the bush. Quiche looks at him for a moment. Then she turns and limps in the opposite direction. White Fang follows her along a snow-covered path. They stop on a ridge and look down on a frozen river valley to see a team of running dogs pulling three men on a speeding sled and the wolf pack hot on their trail. Ah! A marshal named Todd stands on the footboards at the back of the sled, mushing the dogs and steering with his foot. Ahead of him, Whedon sits in the cargo bed loading a rifle.
Hurry up, Whedon! They're getting closer!
A prisoner riding up front looks back with a wicked grin. Whedon inserts the final bullets into the rifle. He aims at the alpha male wolf, then hesitates. He shoots a tree, and the splintering woods makes the wolves scatter.
Let's go!
Whedon shoots a rock, and flying shrapnel disperses the wolves. The alpha male follows for a moment, then gives up. White Fang and Kiche watch the sled drive away in the valley before starting down the steep ridge. At night in the valley, Kiche sniffs a piece of salmon lying on the snow. White Fang eats the salmon quickly while Kiche looks ahead at sled tracks and cans of food scattered on the snow. In the distance, the men are gathered around a campfire eating. The brawny prisoner named Hall bears thick manacles and shackle chains. He exchanges menacing glances with each of the marshals. Standing in the nearby darkness, White Fang sniffs the air and steps toward the men's camp. Kiche grabs him in her mouth, sets him down, and motions with her snout. White Fang looks into the surrounding forest and sees three gray wolves, also spying on the men.
Them wolves ain't giving up.
They're smart. They'll keep clear of the fire.
And the rifles.
You should have shot them when you had the chance.
It's been a rough winter. I'm not gonna kill wolves just for being hungry.
That's your problem, Marshal. You ain't no killer.
Good. Look where killing got you.
I'll bust these chains long before they put a rope around my neck. Then I'm gonna kill you before I go anywhere.
I'll bear that in mind.
Firelight reveals Whedon's sharp green eyes, chiseled features, and trimmed beard.
I'm gonna see to the dogs.
Todd is an older man with a thick white handlebar mustache and full mutton chop sideburns. He approaches the team of black and white husky sled dogs who are leashed to a picket line and post.
Easy, easy. Calm down.
He reaches into a satchel bag and pulls out some strips of raw salmon. In the nearby darkness, White Fang looks around searchingly for Kiche, who is no longer at his side.
Hey, Whedon, how many dogs we got?
Since the wolves got Bunk and Jimmy, we got six.
Well, we got seven now.
Huh? Come on.
Whedon picks up his rifle and guides the shackled prisoner Hall toward the dog team.
Grab the picket line, will you?
Whedon pulls the dog team forward. Kiche stands alone behind the team. She looks up at the men.
Where'd she come from?
Must be a stray. Bet she ran off when some miner dumped his outfit.
Well, she's smart, that's for sure. You think we could use her for the team?
Nah, she's got a game leg. Decent thing would be to put her down.
White Fang leaps fiercely to his mother's side.
If that ain't the littlest wolf I've ever seen. Come on, Marshal. Put a bullet in that one. That 30-30 should take care of him.
I'd shoot you first. Give me a strip of that salmon.
Pup or not, that's a wolf.
This guy's as much dog as he is wolf. And he's got grit.
Whedon holds out a long strip of salmon.
Come on. It's okay. Come on, buddy.
White Fang approaches warily. He takes a long look at Whedon's shiny belt buckle, then snatches the salmon and runs back to Kiche with it.
Ain't you the soft touch?
Who knows? Maybe one day he'll return the favor.
Kiche takes the heavy strip of salmon in her mouth and leads White Fang into the forest.
See you around, kid.
Quiche looks around warily as the wolf pack trails them through the forest. In the moonlit clearing, the wolf pack emerges from the trees and surrounds Quiche and White Fang. She grips the salmon fiercely in her mouth. White Fang crouches defensively at her side. They stand their ground, bare their teeth, and growl as the alpha male draws near and looks them over thoughtfully. The other wolves circle and move closer. Quiche suddenly flings the salmon into the air. The wolves jump up to grab it, then pounce on it and fight over it. The alpha male snarls at the pack. They cower submissively and back away from the salmon. Then the alpha male turns to see that Quiche and White Fang have vanished from sight. Later, snow starts to fall as Quiche and White Fang trudge through the forest. His paws sink into the fresh snow and he struggles wearily trying to keep up. Arriving at a meadow, she stops and looks down at him. Then, peering through a heavy falling snow, she spots a gnarly old tree in the distance, and they head towards it. Soon they are curled up together in the hollow beneath the gnarly tree, and they fall asleep. White Fang awakens in daytime when a clump of heavy snow falls from the gnarly tree. He looks out to see sunshine and a clear blue sky, the forest, and mountains in the distance. Quiche awakens to see White Fang's footprints trailing away on a fresh blanket of white snow. He stands on the crest of a hill looking back. Then he starts down the hill, slipping a little as he goes. Quiche arrives and blocks his path. They see a First Nations wigwam village nestled beside a wide river. An elder man named Gray Beaver, needing help to haul an immense canoe on shore, calls out to a young man named Three Eagles.
Three Eagles! Give me a hand!
White Fang tugs playfully on a tree root sticking out of the snow. Quiche takes a long look at Gray Beaver. Then she leads the way downhill to the village.
Here you go.
She encounters a young woman named Vici feeding six husky sled dogs.
Woo!
Three Eagles grabs a rifle and aims it at Quiche. Gray Beaver intervenes.
Stop! That's Quiche. She used to be my fastest sled dog.
A dog that runs off does not come back.
They do if they're hungry. Quiche! Tuk tuk!
He kneels and reaches out. Quiche comes to him and nuzzles his hand.
Look at her leg. She'll never pull a sled.
And I think she will.
White Fang arrives.
Quiche will pull a sled, but you will never tame that monster. He's got more teeth than brains.
You must see the opportunity.
Gray Beaver lifts White Fang and holds him at eye level.
Quiche has brought us a pup with spirit. We will call you White Fang. You'll be the greatest sled dog ever.
White Fang relaxes in the elder man's hands. On a moonlit night, Quiche lies impassively, leashed to a post. White Fang's leash has been gnawed through and dangles from its post. He starts to run away, dragging a piece of rope around his neck. Then he stops and looks back at his sleeping mother. He gazes up at the full moon above the vast wilderness. Then he returns to Quiche's side, curls up next to her, and falls asleep. On a sunny day, a pine tree limb bounces up as heavy snow drops off of it. In the village, strips of salmon and stretched animal hides are hanging on drying racks. White Fang watches with interest as Kiche slowly hauls a heavily loaded sled toward Gray Beaver, who is waiting on his knees. She bears a scar on her left haunch and walks with a limp as she struggles to pull, with the sled rope between her teeth.
Well done, Kiche.
White Fang nuzzles her face, then bounds playfully amid the dozing huskies, who ignore him. Vici arrives with a large bowl of fish for the dogs. They circle around and eat quickly. Then White Fang arrives to find the bowl empty.
White Fang.
She drops a piece of fish into the bowl and he gobbles it up. Later, White Fang attempts to pull a huge basket full of whole fish. He pulls on a leather strap and the entire batch of fish spills out on top of him. Another day, White Fang watches Kiche pull the sled to the elder without straining or limping. One night, White Fang lies awake next to Kiche, looking up at the loaded sled. He gets behind the pull rope, grasps it in his teeth, and yanks with all his might, but it doesn't budge. In spring, White Fang is a mid-sized young dog, able to slowly pull the loaded sled across dry land. He sees Vici picking berries. She shrinks back as he picks some with his teeth, then drops them into her basket, along with a mouthful of drool. One night, Gray Beaver watches White Fang haul the loaded sled across the ground. White Fang stops pulling and gazes up at the full moon. On a sunny winter's day, White Fang is asleep on the snow. His eyes spring open and he sees Kiche running easily and quickly at the front of the dog team as they pull Gray Beaver's sled into the village. After the sled comes to a stop, Gray Beaver drops an anchor and presses it into the snow with his soft hide boot.
Oh, hold on. Hold there.
White Fang stands almost as tall as Kiche as he greets her and licks her face.
Grandfather!
What is it, Vici?
A man has arrived at the village. He's waiting for you.
Do not worry. Hold this for me, please.
Gray Beaver hands Vici his shoulder bag. Then he joins Marshal Todd, who removes a large leather mitten in order to shake hands.
Marshal Todd.
Gray Beaver.
Good to see you again. What brings you here so far away from the city?
I'm afraid I got bad news. With the recent gold strike, the territory has planned to sell this land.
Sell this land? We have been here since before my grandfather's time. We cannot move further up north. There's nothing for us there.
I'm sorry.
How much does the territory hope to get for the land?
The concern in White Horse has offered 450. American.
You like those mittens?
Better than anything in Fort Yukon, that's for sure.
Would you buy them for a dollar?
Sure. I'd even buy them for two. So, as I was saying,
we will buy the land. We'll pay $500.
Now? I mean, do you have that kind of money?
We will have the money.
And I guess we have a deal. I'll inform them that we have come to an agreement. I'll see you at the end of December.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
And for the mittens?
Please, keep them as a gift.
Three Eagles approaches Gray Beaver, who is adjusting Kiche's harness. White Fang draws near with an extra harness in his teeth.
What do we do now?
I will go north across the river. You and the other men spread out to the south. Every man with traps goes out. The women have enough pelts to start sewing. We will not stop until we have the mittens we need. I will sell them in Fort Yukon, and we will buy back our land.
You can count on us.
Kiche! Duke, Duke!
The tribe watches Grey Beaver drive the dog sled away on the frozen river.
Listen up, everyone. We have work to do.
White Fang stares after the fast-moving sled with the harness dangling from his mouth. Ah! Ah! Next, he is galloping after the sled. Grey Beaver looks back to see White Fang running after them.
You must run harder. If you're not ready, we cannot wait.
Ha! White Fang stands for a moment, then he runs into the forest. Grey Beaver continues driving the speeding sled along the frozen river, with Kiche leading the dog team. He checks over his shoulder. Then, looking ahead, he lifts a foot from the footboards and pushes against the frozen terrain. He spots White Fang waiting on the side of the path, wagging his tail.
I was wrong. You are ready.
Now, White Fang runs ahead of the team. At night, Aurora Borealis northern lights brighten the sky with a spectacular display of moving green color, which reflects on the snow-covered mountaintops. White Fang lies sleepily beside his mother. Grey Beaver sits by a campfire. He cuts jerky with a knife and eats a piece. White Fang raises his head and yawns. A slice of jerky falls in front of him. He stands to pick it up, then lies back down to eat it. The huskies suddenly become alert. White Fang looks at them, then turns his attention to Grey Beaver sitting by the fire. A rugged-looking man with a long dark beard emerges from the forest wearing a woolen trapper's coat.
William, I thought we'd agreed you'd stay south of the river.
We did. But my people need pelts.
We all need pelts.
Sit. Let's talk.
William sits by the fire, and White Fang settles down to sleep. White Fang awakens in daytime to see Kiche standing with Grey Beaver and William. Grey Beaver kneels and puts a rope leash around Kiche's neck. Then he holds her muzzle affectionately and speaks to her.
You have done well. You will go with William now.
Good hunting.
Kiche gives White Fang a sad look as the two men clasp each other's forearms in agreement. Then William leads her into the forest on the leash. White Fang follows them. Then he walks alongside and gives his mother a loving nudge. She barks at him and pushes him away. He runs after her and she turns on him. She gives him a loving look as he cowers and backs away. The two men nod to each other. Then William gently tugs on Kiche's leash. White Fang and Grey Beaver stand alert, watching as William leads Kiche away. They disappear from view amid snow-covered trees. Grey Beaver kneels beside White Fang.
This is where William traps. But now, because of Kiche, we can trap these streams. The time for mothers is over. This is how it feels to be grown.
White Fang gazes into the forest, then lies down on the snow. An aerial view shows their camp next to a patch of open water and a tremendous beaver dam. Grey Beaver thrusts a wooden stake into the ice. Then he drops a barrel-shaped wooden beaver trap into the water and watches it sink. The huskies are tethered to a stake, barking at White Fang, who is curled up in front of them without a leash. White Fang turns away from them and shuts his eyes.
They resent that you were first dog.
Gray Beaver leads White Fang away from the huskies.
You must lead this team. But they will not follow you until they respect you. They are not like you. They only know food and fear.
He drives a stake into the snow-covered ground with White Fang tied to it.
I cannot do this for you. You will have to make them see.
As Gray Beaver walks away, White Fang tugs against the short rope holding him in place. He bites on the rope. The six huskies are free and charging towards him. White Fang looks puzzled. He recoils and backs away. Then he runs in circles around the stake while the huskies pursue him aggressively. In twilight at the riverside, Gray Beaver hauls a trap out of the water with a beaver inside. Then he stands up and looks in the direction of the dogfight. The huskies come running and hide behind him. White Fang arrives, dragging the rope and stake. Gray Beaver looks him in the eyes and nods. Next, White Fang leads the team, running along a snow-covered path in the bright sunshine. They are hauling a fully loaded sled full of beaver pelts. Gray Beaver drives, standing on the footboards. In springtime, a village woman carries a stack of dried beaver pelts to an outdoor work table where mittens are made. Then, Vici carries an enormous sack to the snowy riverbank where Three Eagles and Gray Beaver are readying the big canoe.
Grandfather!
Gray Beaver loads the sack into the canoe.
I will be back soon, and you will be in charge during my absence.
Do not worry. You will find this village in the same way you left it. I will take care of everything.
I know you will. Make sure you tell them not to worry.
This is for you, Grandfather.
Everyone is gathered as Vici presents a leather pouch.
Thank you, child.
He wears it around his neck.
Besides, I have a beautiful pouch made for me by my granddaughter.
White Fang is sitting in the canoe.
And a friend to keep me company.
Three Eagles pushes the canoe off, and Gray Beaver paddles through the icy water with White Fang sitting up front. A flock of geese crosses the clear blue sky as sunlight sparkles on the winding river, bordered by snowy shores, thick evergreen forest, and snow-covered mountains. Now a large, majestic adult, White Fang sits attentively at the bow while Gray Beaver expertly paddles down a stretch of descending rapids. White Fang smells the air as they cross calm water and head toward a heavy mist. Drifting through the mist at sunset, the canoe bumps against floating logs. A settlement of wooden buildings with smoke rising from their chimneys stretches along the riverbank.
Before men came for the gold, it was not like this. But we will be fine. We will sell the mittens we've made and get away from this place.
They paddle towards several long docks and a cluster of waterfront buildings. With the canoe tied off, they disembark, and Grey Beaver heaves the sack of mittens onto his back. White Fang follows him along a dock while a steamboat moors behind them.
Let's find a place to spend the night.
Stopping on a pier with White Fang at his side, Grey Beaver puts the sack down and tucks the pouch inside his coat. A man coming from the steamboat rudely bumps him from behind, then turns to glare at him. Another man restrains a ridgeback hunting dog on a leash.
What's the matter? Go on now! Go on now! Get! Go on! Get!
You're upsetting my dog. We are bothering no one. Move on and your dog will be fine.
I don't take orders from Indians. Anybody moves, it's gonna be you.
We want no trouble.
That's right. You don't.
Grey Beaver strokes White Fang reassuringly, picks up the sack, and walks on. White Fang heels dutifully without a leash. Smith abruptly appears at the dog owner's shoulder.
Where'd that Indian get off acting like he's so much better than you are?
Don't worry. I got a surprise for him.
He releases the vicious ridgeback, and White Fang turns to defend himself.
No!
White Fang runs at the charging ridgeback. They collide, and the ridgeback falls. White Fang retreats on command.
White Fang, a jaw!
Smith seems delighted.
That dog is a killer.
You're right, boy. Come on, let's go.
Skinny little Smith approaches Grey Beaver.
Hey, you.
Grey Beaver towers above Smith.
Yes?
That dog's a born fighter, brother. Train him right and there'd be no stopping him.
He is a sled dog.
Grey Beaver walks away. Smith cuts him off.
So, what do you say?
Huh? What do I say about what?
Come on, name your price. How much for the dog?
He's not for sale. Good evening.
Grey Beaver continues on his way. Smith hobbles after him, using his cane for support.
Hey, brother, wait a sec. Hey, don't get me wrong. I was trying to help. So tell me, what brings you around here? Buying stuff for your people?
No. I'm selling mittens from my village.
Mittens? Oh, you ain't gonna sell these mittens. Fella ain't allowed up here unless he's fully outfitted.
I will sell them. I must.
You got money trouble.
I need $500 for my village.
You see, now that's where it's good to have a friend in me. I'd pay $500 for that mud of yours. Right here, right now.
I will sell you mittens.
I'm only doing this because we're pals. Every last soul in Fort Yukon's got food for a year and oilskin and gumboots and gloves.
Anyone who thinks these are good enough has never spent a winter up north. These will not keep you warm. Not when they are wet.
Smith grabs Grey Beaver's arm.
I made you a fair offer and you walk away? I want that dog.
White Fang, a jaw!
Grey Beaver pushes Smith away.
White Fang, come.
This ain't over yet.
White Fang heels beside Grey Beaver, walking down a crowded street at night. He looks around curiously at men passing in suits and ties, streetlights overhead, and bright lights streaming through windows. He Hearing piano music, he stops and stares at a saloon entrance.
White Fang, come.
They come to a sign advertising a hotel with rooms by the day or by the week. They descend a long stairway leading to a dark, quiet street, then stand on a boardwalk and look around. Graybeaver knocks on a door to inquire. A man answers and points. They walk on, and the man shuts the door. Graybeaver opens the door to a small room containing a single bed, a chair with a lantern on it, and a washstand. He enters and puts the sack down while White Fang stands in the doorway.
Come on in.
White Fang sniffs around cautiously while Graybeaver lights the lantern with a match.
We will wait until it gets cold. The mittens will sell better at night. In the meantime, we rest.
Later, snow gently falls as White Fang gazes out the window at a big, bright full moon. Graybeaver awakens and gets out of bed. He collects the sack of mittens and heads out the door with White Fang at his heel. A crowd of men gathers on the main street where Graybeaver is selling mittens.
There, $2.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's a heck of a deal there, huh?
Yeah.
Let me see what you got.
I'll see. You sell me one for $1? I only got the $1.
Smith stands in the shadows with a henchman named Hall.
Do you want me to take care of him?
No need for that. I got a plan.
There you go. Thanks for the bargain.
Smith steps forward to buy a pair of mittens.
Don't worry, brother. I know when I'm beat. I just want to buy me a pair of those wonderful mittens.
See how these fit.
I'm sure they're fine. But look here, all I got is a 10. Man of means like myself. I don't suppose you could change that.
Graybeaver digs out his pouch to make change.
You will be very happy with these.
I already am.
Smith walks past Hall, tapping his breastbone to indicate where Graybeaver keeps his pouch.
You know what to do.
There you go. Even when wet. $2.
Later, the mitten sack is empty.
See? We have sold everything. Now we can go home.
Hall peers out from a dark corner as Graybeaver walks down the street with White Fang. A couple of drunks stumble out of the saloon and accost them.
Come on now.
Hey! Hold on. How you doing there, partner?
Hello.
How about a drink?
No.
Oh, come on. It's a beautiful night. It's a beautiful bottle. I'm feeling generous.
No, thank you.
Oh, you're no fun at all.
I must go.
All right.
Sorry. Excuse me.
Hall conceals a knife as he deliberately bumps Graybeaver, then walks away with the pouch in hand. Back in the small room, Graybeaver searches inside the sack and pats his breastbone where the pouch used to hang inside his coat.
No!
He looks under the bed.
No!
White Fang follows him out the door. They search the boardwalk and the street.
The village. How? Oh, no! No!
A view of the pier at dawn, the steamboat docked on glistening water, a golden sunrise above distant hills. Graybeaver sits on a boardwalk in brilliant sunlight, back hunched, head hanging down. White Fang stands tall at his side. They look up to see Smith arrive with Curtis. Smith shrinks back and loses his balance. Curtis props him back up.
What's the matter, huh? You like to take a turn?
You know what happened.
You accuse me of something you can't prove. I can have you thrown in jail. Is that what you want?
No. I want my money.
Well, that's a problem. 'Cause now you ain't got no more mittens. But you do got that dog now, don't you? I said I'd pay top dollar for a dog like that one.
I think you would take my soul if you could.
Devil can have your soul. I just want your dog.
White Fang turns to Gray Beaver with sad eyes. Gray Beaver lowers his head sadly as he clenches a fistful of money and climbs into his canoe. On the pier, White Fang barks through a wire muzzle and strains against a short leash controlled by Curtis. Smith stands behind Curtis, a wicked grin on his face.
Come on, we got work to do.
White Fang digs his heels in and resists. Curtis pulls hard on the leash and drags him along. Later, White Fang paces inside a small yard with a wooden wall around it. He looks up as Smith pounds the knob of his cane on the other side of the wall. Smith listens at the door, then jumps back as it rattles from inside.
We can make a mint fighting this dog, but it won't work unless he knows I'm the boss.
Give me your cane.
Curtis takes the cane in hand and enters the yard.
When I'm finished, he'll mind whoever's holding this.
Smith watches through a crack in the wall as Curtis drags the knob of the cane along the wood. Curtis holds the cane like a bat and steps forward menacingly.
You hear that? This is what submission sounds like. You'll remember this and obey.
Smith cringes as he watches through the crack. Betting men gather in the old sawmill at night. The bookie marks his bets in his notebook as an assistant takes in handfuls of cash.
Whoa, one at a time. What do you got?
One at a time.
$10 down.
$10 there. $10 there.
Here's 20.
10 for the guy in the middle. What you got there, Shorty?
$30.
$30 for the short man.
Smith wanders through the crowd with White Fang on a leash.
All right, what you got?
$12.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you.
That's it.
Betting stops, and the bookie enters the ring where a dog owner holds a German shepherd on a rope.
I promised you something special, and now's the time. You've all seen Laddie fight. He's up against a new dog, White Fang!
Here we go.
White Fang glares crossly as Smith nudges him with his cane.
All right, boy. Go on, get him.
The dog owner releases Laddie. White Fang comes out of nowhere, grabs Laddie by the scruff, and takes him down. White Fang stands on top of Laddie's motionless body. A montage sequence shows two wooden boards, one with White Fang written on it, the other with Laddie. Using white chalk, the bookie crosses out Laddie and writes Jax. More dogfights, more bets. White Fang's name remains alone on the first board, while seven dog names are crossed out on the other. Wads of money exchange hands. White Fang bears deep scratches on his back as Smith walks him into the fighting ring. A crate is opened, and White Fang stares into the glowing eyes of a wild lynx. Smith holds his cane like a scepter and laughs maniacally as a vicious battle ensues. Money rains down on Smith as he stands in the ring with open arms. White Fang stands in the shadows like a monster with glowing red eyes. His eyes clench shut and the screen goes black. Now, White Fang is back in the ring, surrounded by raving men all around and above him on rafter platforms. He looks about with menacing eyes and quiet resolve as Smith drags his cane along the boards.
Champions in our own right!
Hear that?
We'll face a monster!
You know what comes next, don't you? Now get in there and make me some money.
The terror of Fort Yukon!
White Fang looks across at Jocko and Scratch leaping on their leashes. Then he stares up at the full moon shining through the hole in the roof.
Fight!
The dogs attack and a shot rings out. In daytime, White Fang wakes up on a blanket in a shed, his shoulder bandaged. He sniffs the air, looks all around, and listens. He stands on hind legs and places his paws on the wooden wall. The door swings open, and he peers outside. He sees sunlight beaming through trees, a row of wooden beehives in a quiet yard, and a quaint log cabin. He steps out and crosses the yard, sniffing at the bees as they buzz around the hives. He startles a slender brunette, Mrs. Maggie Scott, and she drops her basket. He runs back to the shed.
Wait!
Maggie cautiously looks inside the shed.
Hello?
White Fang cowers on the blanket as she puts the basket in front of him.
It's all right. Everything's all right. Here. We're not going to hurt you.
She leaves quietly and he devours food from the basket. She runs into the cabin, shuts the door quickly, and leans against it. Whedon sits on a bed in long johns, his head bandaged.
Whedon! Whedon?
Oh. Tell me again why we left California.
Don't joke. Just take it easy.
I'm fine. I'm okay.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm not talking to you.
Then I guess I better be going.
Whoa. You're not going anywhere. You may be the law in Fort Yukon, but around here, I give the orders.
She lies him down and dabs his face.
Few days at home doesn't sound so bad.
It better not.
It was a dogfight.
That explains the wolf.
The wolf? How do you know?
They brought it home with you.
What?
Marshal Todd brought it home with you. They had to. You wouldn't let it go. He's pretty badly hurt.
Don't go near it. Hurt or not, that thing is dangerous.
They said that about you once, too. Now stay here. Get some rest.
Leaving him to sleep, she collects his hat and hangs it on a wall hook with his coat. She notices the flyer sticking out of the pocket, unfolds it, and reads it.
White Fang. The terror of the Yukon? Poor Fang.
In a chicken coop behind the shed, she collects eggs in a basket. At a counter in the house, she breaks a chunk of bread from a loaf and adds it to ingredients in a large bowl. Whedon comes from the bedroom in his long johns and stands with a cane.
Hey, you're up.
Kiss and hug.
All better now.
He notices the bowl.
Hey, is that for me?
Nope.
She takes the bowl outside and crosses the yard with it. White Fang looks up as she opens the door to the shed. She enters cautiously as he hunkers down and bares his teeth. She takes up the basket and puts the bowl down.
See? I'm not so bad. I brought you more. White Fang, right?
She turns her back and walks out, leaving the door open. Outside, she studies the yard.
Okay, let's see. Carrots here, beetroots, squash.
A large stump lies in the way.
You're right where the squash is going to be.
She ties a rope around the toppled stump, then tries to pull it.
Come on.
It doesn't budge. She turns to see White Fang behind her. She drops the rope and freezes as he draws near.
Easy. Easy.
He takes the rope in his mouth, turns his back to the stump, and stands ready to pull. He looks at her and yanks the rope. She gets behind the stump and pushes while he tows it from the front. Together, they move the stump across the yard.
Stop, stop, stop. That's enough.
Thank you.
He holds the rope in his mouth as she kneels before him.
You did great. Let it go.
She takes the rope from his mouth and pets him.
We're not so bad, are we?
Whedon comes from the cabin, fully dressed.
Maggie, you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
Careful with that dog.
Whedon walks toward them with his cane.
Now, that's enough of that. It's time you two got along. It's the cane. I think it scares him. Can you walk without it?
I can try.
He sets the cane on the ground. White Fang backs away timidly as Whedon comes to kneel at Maggie's side.
Whedon Scott, meet White Fang. White Fang, meet Whedon Scott.
White Fang. It's on the flyer, but how do you know?
I found it in your coat from when they brought you home. It turns out he's the terror of the Yukon, aren't you, boy?
I thought I was the terror of the Yukon.
You are an angel. You both are.
So let's get a look at you.
Whedon holds out his open hand.
Come on. It's okay. Come on. It's okay.
White Fang sniffs Whedon's hand, then looks beyond it to see the gleaming belt buckle. He studies Whedon's face, then climbs up and licks him.
Hey!
I think he knows you.
How?
Whedon takes a close look at White Fang.
I know him too. What do you know? Look at you.
White Fang shuts his eyes, nuzzling affectionately as Whedon pets him. At sunset, Maggie strikes a match to light a wood-burning stove inside the cabin. She looks out a window to see Whedon and White Fang walking side by side across the yard. Strong and healthy, with bandages removed, White Fang prances happily as he and Whedon make their way along a forest path to a rocky crest bathed in the glow of a radiant sunset. A hawk flies overhead as they look out over a vast river valley stretching toward snow-covered mountains. They sit on the crest and take in the glorious view. They return to the yard after dark. Maggie opens the cabin door as Whedon arrives on the porch.
Good night, White Fang.
They go inside, and White Fang curls up on the porch. Curtis watches from the shadows as lights go out inside the cabin. In the morning, Whedon steps onto the porch with a mug of coffee. Looking down, he spits coffee. Four dead chickens lie at his feet while White Fang sits brightly, wagging his tail.
Maggie!
I guess there's a hole in the chicken coop.
I guess so. And I think we forgot we have a wolf living here.
So we can't keep chickens?
He's gonna kill them. That's what wolves do.
Not this one. Not if I tell him not to. White Fang, come.
White Fang heels and follows her through the yard while Whedon picks up the chickens and takes them inside. Outside the chicken coop, White Fang watches the loose chickens tentatively, with his head down and tail between his legs.
First, we plug up this hole.
She pushes a wooden crate and blocks a hole in the wall with it. Then she ushers the loose chickens into the coop pen.
Shoo, 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 shoo. And then we go inside.
The chickens huddle in a corner of the pen as White Fang enters with Maggie. He stands calmly and looks up at her. She kneels to pet him.
There's so much about this place that needs to change. And these men are the worst of it. I know. But in spite of the gold, the greed, and the cruelty, we're trying to build something good and peaceful up here. Now, I know before the fighting in Fort Yukon, you had a life out there. And I know that killing's a part of who you are. But here, you can't do that. Please, 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 don't kill chickens.
She leaves him in the pen with the chickens. He watches them impassively as they crowd together and cluck.
I'll be back in an hour.
In the cabin, Maggie sits at a table with a mug of coffee while Whedon stokes the stove.
You really think White Fang can learn not to kill chickens?
He's going to have to. We need to know he can be just as gentle as a normal dog. Especially if he's going to be around a baby.
Is he going to be around a baby?
He is if he stays with us.
Oh, Maggie!
He picks her up, hugs her tightly, and twirls her.
Oh, sorry. I should be careful.
You can hug your wife. I won't break. You're strong again. You're better.
I know.
They'll be glad to have you back.
She bows her head, picks up her cup, and crosses to the counter.
They'll be fine without me.
What are you saying?
Let's go back to California. My brother needs help with the ranch. We'd have our own place. She can grow up with more family than just you and some old lawman.
She?
I'm hoping she's just like her mother.
Hugging him, she shuts her eyes and rests her head on his shoulder.
A boy wouldn't be so bad.
I wonder what White Fang's up to.
I left him in the chicken coop.
They find White Fang lying glumly, surrounded by clucking chickens.
Oh, I can't believe it. He did it.
Oh, the poor guy.
Good boy.
He goes to them, and they kneel down to hug him and pet him. In Fort Yukon at night, Curtis and Smith meet in a dark alleyway.
It was him, I tell you. I was taking a shortcut through Crystal Creek. That's when I've seen him. He's living with the marshal and his wife. He is alive and strong.
That's music to my ears. We're gonna make that marshal pay for what he did and get my dog back. He will regret he ever crossed Beauty Smith.
Whoa. Hold on a second. I'm tangling with that marshal.
Don't you worry, my friend. We're not going there alone. That fellow you mentioned, late of the territorial prison, ain't he got a beef with the marshal? People been talking lately. And I think I know where to find him.
A crow flutters in the old sawmill rafters at night. Hall speaks from the shadows as Curtis and Smith enter.
So you're the little fella who hit the marshal with your walking stick.
And now I know where he's hiding. Thought you might like to finish the job.
Big Burly Hall steps into the open and cracks his knuckles.
That I would. That I would.
At the log cabin in daytime, Maggie comes outside with a wooden box as Whedon arrives driving a horse-drawn cart.
Whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's a telegram from my brother and his wife.
He dismounts and pats the horse.
We're all set.
She runs to hug him.
They've already got a spot cleared for a house.
Our house. Say, where's White Fang?
Well, he was here before.
I think I know.
They look in the direction of the rocky crest. Then Whedon arrives on the crest to find White Fang staring out at the distant mountains.
I thought you might be here. You know, in California, it doesn't get cold like it does up here. River never freezes where we live. It's easier down there. Better for our family. The way things are, it's where we belong, Maggie and me.
Whedon stands beside White Fang and takes in the view of the lush green forest and river valley stretching toward the mountains. After a moment, he heads for the forest path that leads to the cabin.
Come on.
White Fang remains staring at the view. Whedon pauses and looks back before heading home alone. Elsewhere, the wolf pack runs through a clearing in the woods. White Fang's ears twitch as he sits on the crest. Whedon pauses on the forest path, looks up at the treetops, inhales deeply, and shuts his eyes. He opens his eyes and sees an enormous shadow next to his own. He turns quickly and finds Hall towering over him with a heavy wooden club in his hand.
Afternoon, Marshal.
Did you really think that prison cell would hold me for long?
He grabs Whedon by the throat.
Just like old times, except I ain't wearing cuffs this time. And you ain't gonna live.
As he raises the bat, White Fang charges, knocks him down, and bites his arm and wrist.
Ah! Let me go! Get him off me, please! Get him off me! Help! Help!
He crawls to Whedon, who punches him in the face. Whedon ties him up.
Go back to the house, quick!
They leave Hall lying unconscious, race back to the cabin, and find Smith sitting on the porch.
Beauty Smith.
So I guess our friend squandered his chance to take you down.
He taps his cane, and White Fang backs away.
Where's Maggie? Where's my wife?
I'm just here for the dog, is all. There's no need to make this personal.
That's enough.
Curtis!
Curtis comes from the house with a knife to Maggie's throat.
Maggie.
Whedon.
You're going to jail.
Oh, I ain't going anywhere except home with that dog.
Let me go!
Remember this? I bet you do.
He wields the cane.
That's right. I give the orders.
Leave him be.
He strikes Whedon with the cane, knocking him down.
I said I give the orders.
He presses the tip of the cane to Whedon's throat.
You shouldn't have done me like you did, Marshal. Taking a man's livelihood ain't right. That dog is mine.
He raises the cane.
Don't!
As he swings the cane, White Fang leaps up and takes it.
You!
Then he bites down and snaps it in two.
But...
Smith backs away. Maggie smashes her boot heel onto Curtis's foot. He drops his knife and loses his balance. She runs to safety and Whedon tackles Curtis. White Fang takes off after Smith while Whedon subdues Curtis.
Go after him. I'll take care of this one.
Maggie runs after White Fang. Smith hobbles across the yard, dashes into the shed, and holds the door shut while White Fang leaps against it. Smith tumbles back and lands on the floor. White Fang enters, ready to attack. Smith trembles in fear, edges into a corner, and raises his arm defensively. White Fang draws near and opens his huge maw full of jagged white teeth.
White Fang!
Don't let him kill me, please!
Don't!
Please!
White Fang backs away. Smith lowers his arm. White Fang glares at him, then turns his back and walks out. Outside, Whedon has Curtis in custody. Later, Smith, Curtis, and Hall are on their knees in front of the porch, their hands cuffed behind them, while Todd and a deputy stand guard.
Make sure those handcuffs are tight.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't want Jim Hall running off on us again.
Whedon joins Maggie on the horse-drawn cart.
Sorry all that had to happen. Not much of a going away present, huh? That's one hell of a watchdog you got yourself there.
Sure is, Hank. He managed to put Jim Hall out of commission all by himself. Don't know what we would have done without him. He saved our lives.
Drop a line when you get to Frisco. Let me know what you want done with the cabin.
Well, it's all yours if you want it.
Yesterday I would have said it was too quiet for my taste. We'll get it seen to.
Thank you, Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Whedon takes the reins and drives off with Maggie at his side. White Fang sits among boxes and crates in the back, his eyes fixed on Marshal Todd, who salutes him. Driving on a forest trail, Maggie and Whedon share a long look, while behind them, White Fang sits with his back to them, staring toward the river valley and distant mountains. As they leave the forest, Maggie looks back at White Fang and nudges Whedon. He looks over his shoulder at White Fang, then stops the cart.
Whoa! Whoa!
What were we thinking?
We weren't.
They get down from their seats and Maggie walks back to White Fang. They hold each other's gaze for a moment, then he hops down and looks longingly into the distance. Whedon comes to stand beside Maggie. White Fang turns his attention back and forth between them and the wilderness. Maggie kneels to pet his face.
We're going home. You should go home, too.
It's okay. We'll be fine.
Maggie and Whedon stand arm in arm as White Fang shifts back and forth, then finally gallops downhill toward the valley. He looks back at them, and they wave.
Thank you. For everything.
Sunlight flickers through the trees as White Fang races through forest. Into bright sunlight, climbs to the top of a rock summit, throws back his head, and howls. In the wigwam village, Gray, Beaver, and Vici exchange glances and look searchingly toward the distant mountains. Climbing a mountain trail, William and Kiche stop and look across the valley toward the snow-covered peaks. White Fang looks out from the rock summit, turns, and runs off. Cut to black, and credits appear. To Liv and Naomi. With Nick Offerman as Marshall Whedon Scott. Rashida Jones as Maggie Scott. Paul Giamatti as Beauty Smith. Eddie Spears as Gray Beaver. David Boat as Jim Hall. Sean Kennan as The Bookie. Raquel Antonia as Vici. Daniel Hagen as Marshall Todd. Stephen Kramer Glickman as Ned, William Calvert as William, John Grassel as Three Eagles, Armando Riesco as Curtis. Song You Will Find a Home, written by Will Oldham, performed by Bonnie, Prince, and Billy. Copyright 2018, Super Prod, Biddable Productions, Big Beach, and France 3 Cinema. Find a home. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.